Good morning. Christ is risen.
He's risen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cindy, for the beautiful prelude and certainly the hallelujah chorus at the end. Most of you probably know why did we stand, because when the King of England first heard that as part of Handel's Messiah, he was so moved, he stood. And when the king stands, everybody stands. So, and it is, if you know the words to it, it is incredible. So happy Resurrection Day to everyone here. Special welcome to the families who've come home or visiting. It's a glorious day. I just have a couple of announcements to go over. I wanted to say thanks to the high school youth and their advisors and parents for serving a delicious breakfast this morning. I'm told that for the parents, remember to pick up your egg bakes and or the container if there's still some in it. They'll be on the counter after church, so don't forget about that. Also, a big thanks to everyone who has shared Easter lilies in memory of loved ones. They're beautiful. Here and here, and thanks to Teresa for arranging those. There you are. You were here and you moved back there. So they're beautiful. The trumpet lilies, just helping us to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. This plant right in front of the pulpit here was given by Jay and Cheryl Herbolt and Cheryl's family in memory of Johnny Graber. His funeral was yesterday morning, so we thank them for sharing the peace lily with us. Also, we will pass the offering plates today for our congregation and everybody, but for our congregation, they're used to having the offering box back there, but we're passing the plates today, just so you're aware of that. Last thing I want to mention is regarding the women's salad supper, which is coming up a week and a half from today on a Wednesday evening. It's in the bulletin, but there are, ladies, there are these forms out on the narthex, the information cabinet, for you to fill out if you're coming and who you're bringing. So ladies from our church, of course, you bring a salad to share for that. So hopefully there's a good turnout. The rest of the announcements I will let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, what a glorious day. What a glorious day it is, Resurrection Day. So we think of the words to the Hallelujah chorus. For the Lord our God, omnipotent, reigneth. And you do, Father. You reign over all of heaven. And upon this earth, throughout the universe, you are God Almighty. You are God Most High. And we are here to worship and praise you for your amazing, incredible plan of redemption, the cross, everything leading up to it, and certainly today, the first day of our week, as by the power of your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, you raised Christ from the dead, victorious over death and hell and the grave. And we get to live and walk in that victory every day of our lives on this side of the cross. And we are so thankful for it. So, Father, we are here to worship you. Jesus, we worship you as our King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Spirit of the living God, thank you for your presence already here, filling. Filling this place with your power and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tears of joy, tears of joy. Let's stand. We'll sing our opening hymn, 367. It's on the screen, or if you want to use the hymnal, that is your number. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christ the Lord is risen.
Raise your joys and triumphs high.
Song. Ooh, sorry. Take a moment, greet each other, please, before you are seated. Goodness. Okay, we'll have our short sharing of joys and concerns here. A couple things I have down first. First, we want to continue our prayers for Logan Schmidt. He's in the Navy, a new recruit, and he's down in San Antonio now. Sorry. And he just graduated a week and a half ago, about-ish, 2 weeks ago, something, from... Well, it tells about it in here. From A school program, Master at Arms, April 6th. And then he started another training, C school program, April 13th. Specialized training for the Master at Arms program, 6 to 9 weeks there in San Antonio, and then on to San Diego. So we continue to pray for Logan. We're so proud of him doing that. We have an extra special birthday today, an Easter Sunday birthday, which is Troy Nuss. And what makes it all the more special is he was born on Easter Sunday in 1960. And you know, that is the last time Easter has fallen on the 17th of April until this year. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? So 62 years he waited to have his birthday on Easter Sunday again. Happy birthday, Troy. God bless you. Glad you could be with us today. Amen. Otherwise, anything else over here? Okay, this side, is that a hand? Valerie or Savannah? Can't quite tell. Lillian Walinga's birthday is tomorrow. Number 4. Happy birthday, Lillian. Okay, anybody else? All right, just a special welcome to all the families again that have come to celebrate Resurrection Day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, such a glorious day. Thank you for the moisture, what's coming down. Lord, you know the desperate need in this part of our country and region. And so we thank you for bringing more in this coming week. We trust you, Lord. Your word says that you are the one who brings. You give the autumn and the spring's rains in their season, and you assure us of the regular weeks of harvest. And so we trust you for that. Father, thank you for Logan Schmidt and all of our troops serving at home and abroad around the world. I know we have some here whose husbands are overseas, one in Poland and Germany and different places over there. Lord, bless them as they're not able to be together, many with family over this resurrection day. But we thank you for keeping them safe. We ask for your hand of protection upon them. We continue to pray for the situation in Ukraine as we ask, Father, for your hand of mercy upon those people. We ask for your divine intervention in that situation. Give our leaders, our president and military advisors and commanders, give them wisdom in NATO and how all that works, Lord. Guide them by your Spirit, we pray. For Troy, such a special birthday here today on Easter Sunday. And thank you for blessing him on this day. We thank you, Lord, for other birthdays mentioned, probably many that weren't. And for any other needs, Lord, here this morning, you know each and every one, and we thank you for ministering to the needs that might be physical, maybe emotional, maybe spiritual, maybe financial, whatever it would be. As you do your work by the power of your Spirit in our lives, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read this before we do receive our offering from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. It says this, And Jesus, he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So as we receive the offering this morning, we are going to sing number 357, Christ Arose. So if the ushers would please receive the offering. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Alleluia, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Alleluia, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Amen. Now if you would stand, please, for the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, with everything that is within us, we praise you. We say thanks be to God for your indescribable gift, and that is our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And we give, Lord, today in thanksgiving for our salvation, for your plan of redemption. We give so that the message of the gospel can be spread across this planet. And we do pray, Lord, that hearts would be open to know who you are, Jesus, by the Spirit of the living God. We ask you to bless these gifts in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. Come on, yeah.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. How is everyone today? Oops. Get my jelly beans in order here. Well, today is what? Easter. And what happened that was so, so, so amazing on Easter? Jesus rose
from the dead.
From the dead, right. What happened a couple days ago? He died on the cross. He did. But he didn't stay on there, did he? When they took him off the cross, they put him in a tomb. And then 3 days later, he rose and he's alive. And that's what we celebrate today. And it's so awesome. And you know, one thing I really like about Easter, too, is I like jelly beans. Do you like jelly beans?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like chocolate, too. I probably like chocolate actually better than jelly beans. But jelly beans are good, and you know what? We can look at our jelly beans, and we can be reminded of what the Easter story is about. And it's called the Jelly Bean Prayer. So I got some jelly beans here, and I'm just going to read this to you. And then when we're all done, you're going to get one of these yourself. Somebody in the church, they gave all of these to give to you boys and girls. That's pretty neat, huh? And it has the prayer on the back, and you can share it with others. All right, so I'm going to start. Thank you, Lord, for these jelly beans that remind me of your love. I started with a sinful heart, keeping me from you above. Do you know that Jesus came and he died for all of us? All of us need to receive him, right? Yes. Red, here's our red jelly bean. Red represents the blood you shed to provide for salvation free. He died for all of us, every single one of us. White shows the cleansing of my sin as I put my faith in thee. You know what it says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18? Though your sins were like scarlet, red, they will be as white as snow. Do you know he died for all of us? But we have to receive him. We have to say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins. I take you into my life. Come into my life and wash me clean. Yellow, then when we do that, yellow is for heaven above. My new home I'll have someday. Yellow reminds me of heaven, and heaven's going to be wonderful. And the most neat thing about heaven, boys and girls, is that who's going to be there? Jesus and God, and it's going to be so amazing. Well, green, while we're still here, because once we get saved and ask Jesus to come into our life, we just don't go to heaven right away. We're still here on earth. But green is for the growth I see. I will see as I read your word every day. You see our cross here? See these flowers? What do you have to do to make flowers grow? Water them. You water them, right? And they get sunshine. Well, do you know what? This is how we water, get watered, and grow as Christians. We read the Bible. Yes, we read the Bible. And that helps us to grow. Purple shows that you are king of all, the one I choose to obey. Purple stands for royalty, for a king, like Pastor Mike was talking about. When we accept Jesus into our life and ask him to wash us clean and we start growing in his word, he is our king. He's kind of like the boss of our life. That's what we tell him. Jesus, I obey you. Thank you, Lord, for these jelly beans. They mean more than words can say. So later on today, if you're going to eat some jelly beans or hide them and find them, remember what they stand for, okay? And you can read this at home and share it with somebody today, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for you, Jesus, for sending us Jesus, dying on the cross for us, taking our sin, washing us clean when you rose again. Father, we love you so much. Bless these boys and girls today, Father. Help them to remember you are the reason for this season, too. And Lord, bless them. Help them to tell others about the jelly bean prayer, to share with others about your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now Leah's going to help me to pass these out too, and you can get papers right over there when you're done, okay?
Here.
So just take one, yeah. Whoopsie, there's my cross.
Callie, did you get one? Oh, you got one? Got one. Okay. All right. If there's some that didn't come up, some kids, make sure they get one afterwards. We'll have them in the social hall probably. Right, Ann?
Yes, we will bring it back.
Okay. The Bell Choir has been working hard on a couple songs. They're going to play for us now.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. That is always so amazing to me. As they're all ringing their bells individually and it all lines up just for such a beautiful song. Thank you. Thank you, Cindy, for coordinating that. It's always a blessing. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we sing it, we say it. Christ the Lord is risen today. We ring it with the bells. And so many other ways we proclaim your glorious resurrection. Thank you for your word, for the four gospels that speak to us so clearly of the events of this day, even the epistles that declare it over and over and over again. It is, Lord, the greatest news that has ever been, and we rejoice in it. Father, I ask as always that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here this day as we look into your word, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 20, we're going to sort of start in the middle of this here, verse 10 through verse 17. Or 18, I should say. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary of Magdala went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Amen. Thinking he was the gardener, the verse says there. That's what we're going to focus on a little bit here. John chapter 19, the last two verses, or last couple verses anyway, of that chapter say this: "At the place, near the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there." Now the "they" we know as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. They were the ones we know from the other Gospels that some of the women also followed and saw where the tomb was. Thinking he was the gardener. So the garden tomb. Abby, if you want to get those pictures, and Steve, I just want to show you about seven pictures. When most of you know, we were in Israel in 2014. We were at the garden tomb. And so this, before I say this, this was unearthed, rediscovered, I guess you'd say, in the year 1867. And there is a garden by it. Of course, they fixed it up now. You can go to the next one. It's a beautiful garden here. Oops. Well, that's the last one, but that's okay. I'm not sure what order these are going to be in. We're in the tomb now. Let's see what's next. Okay, the garden tomb. Okay, go ahead. That was our guide. Again, you can see the garden all around, very beautiful. We're inside the tomb now, where he would have laid behind that fence, okay? There we're outside the tomb. So that opening, so there is a step up there too, you got to realize. So that that's about 4.5 feet right there. So where I read Mary, where we read about her, it says she bent over first to look into the tomb before going inside of it. And yeah, you got to stoop down. I did for sure. Well, even Ann did too. So she's taller than 4.5 feet. Okay, go ahead. The place of the skull. The scripture talks about that. Golgotha, the place of the skull. Do you see that? Eye socket, nose, sort of mouth. Looks like a skull, doesn't it? Yeah, it very much does. Do we have one more, or is that it? Is it? Okay, thank you. So just to give you a picture, idea of that. 4.5 feet, the height of the opening of that tomb. I was looking into stuff this week, too, once again. The stone that archaeologists, you know, in all their calculations, figure that stone that would have been rolled in front of the opening of that tomb, figuring the diameter of it, the circumference of it, the thickness, and all that of what they used in that day, would have weighed between 1.5 to 2 ton, 3 to 4,000 pounds. Think about that. So when it was open, of course, before they laid Jesus in there, well, they would put a groove, carve a groove out in the stone in front of the tomb. So, you know, when it was away, and then they had a wedge, big wedge in there that held it there. So rolling it to close the tomb wouldn't have been such a big deal because you're coming downhill. But rolling it away was a whole different deal. A whole different deal. So Mary Magdalene at the tomb, if you're filling in your blanks, I'm already at the letter A there. Mary Magdalene at the tomb. She was the first one there. Early that morning, it says in John 20, this is verse 1 and 2, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple back to where they were staying in Jerusalem. She doesn't even go in yet at this point. All that's on her mind is this, what she tells them. They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and I don't know where they have put him. When she saw the stone rolled away, that was her first thoughts. Somebody took the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, you know, if you'd read those verses before where I started, Peter and John go running to the tomb, racing. It's always sort of interesting. Simon Peter goes running, but John tells us he got there first. He won the race. But Peter goes in first and looks. John goes in next and says he believed. And then they go back to where they were staying in Jerusalem. But Mary stays outside the tomb, which brings us to verse 10 where I started reading. The disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She just couldn't figure this out. I probably say this every year, but they were not going to the tomb expecting a resurrection. They were going with spices to anoint the body. They still wanted to get in there and anoint his body properly. So they weren't expecting. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, one at the foot. And they asked her, isn't that incredible? Those two angels cared about what she was experiencing right there. Woman, why are you crying? What's her answer? So when she ran back to Peter and John with them, she said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and I don't know where they've laid him. To the angels, because she was one-on-one with those two angels there, she changes it up. They have taken away my Lord. My Lord, he has got to be your Lord, and you have got to know him in that tense, in that personal way, as my Lord. Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. That's how intimately you have to know him. She says that. They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him. The amount of angelic activity all through this week, leading up even to the resurrection, was absolutely incredible. All the host of heaven, I'm sure, was just standing at attention, waiting for every command of what to do when. Even at the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before the cross, when they come to arrest Jesus, and Peter charges out there, takes his sword and cuts off the right ear of the servant of the high priest. And Jesus says, "Put that sword back in its place." And he picks up that ear and heals that guy right there. And what does he say? "Don't you know that I could call on my Father and at once, I would have more than 12 legions of angels at my disposal." How many is 12 legion? Told you a couple weeks back, 72,000 angels. All there, standing at attention in the realm of the Spirit. But we know it couldn't be that. It had to be the way it was, and he knew that. So they're all over the place, the angels. And we see it here again. Matthew says about the resurrection morning that there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled the stone away. Well, for one angel to move 3,000-pound rock, that's nothing. Nothing at all. Roll it away. Out he comes. Somebody has said they didn't have to roll the stone away for Jesus to come out of that tomb, and they didn't. The stone had to be rolled away for the evidence that the tomb was empty. And it was. Praise the Lord. So, the garden tomb. Second, the divine gardener. There's a point I'm getting to this as we're focusing so much on this garden. The divine gardener. It goes on, verse 14. "At this, Mary turned and saw Jesus standing there." Remember, she's weeping, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," first he addresses her as that, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" I just love the way Jesus did that. He could have, right away, he could have said, "It's me, Mary, it's me." No. He wants to hear it from her mouth. Just like he wants to hear your faith in him from your mouth. He wants to hear it. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you would have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I'll get him." She had experienced such an incredible deliverance in her life. We know the Bible tells us that Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. Think of the torment that she had lived in and the deliverance she had experienced. Her love for him was incredible. Verse 16, Jesus says, "Mary." When he calls her by name, she knew in an instant. She turned to him, cried out in Aramaic, saying, "Rabboni," or "Rabboni," whichever you say it, which means teacher. We see the angel's concern for her. We see Jesus' concern. When he calls her by name, the lights go on, so to speak. He knows you by name. Every one of you, he knows you by name. He knows every detail of your life, your joys, your sorrows, your challenges. He loves you. So who is the master gardener? Who is the master gardener? It's God. God the Father is. And that behind that in your insert, you see I have the Trinity, because in different ways we see different parts of the Trinity as addressed. Jesus in John 15, that's where he said, "I am the vine and my Father is the" what? Would your guess be? The gardener. My Father is the gardener. I'm the vine, my Father is the gardener. Okay, let's try it again. We got plenty of people in here. You can do better than that. Pretend you're at the state bees, right? Okay. I'm the vine, my Father is the Thank you. That works. He's the gardener. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest." That's God the Father. "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers, workers into his harvest field." So we see that. He's the master gardener. I don't know if we have any master gardeners in here today, You don't have to tell me. I know one that I'm aware of from the community here. And, you know, I've never looked that up until this week as I was working through this. I mean, I know being a master gardener is something special, but I never really went into all what's required. It's quite something. Naturally speaking, I'm talking. It's a 30-hour course of training to get it. Then you have to participate in these clinics. 50 volunteer hours you have to do the first year that you are a master gardener, being willing to teach, present at fairs and schools and so on. After that, it's yearly 20 hours of training following ongoing volunteer hours of work. That's quite a bit, isn't it? Think of all that the master gardener, God himself, put into our salvation. The plan laid out from the beginning and all orchestrated perfectly from creation through the next 4,000 years, prophesied over again and again in the Old Testament, laid out exactly when Jesus was born and then lived his life in the cross and to where we are today. As he works in our lives, he started in the Garden of Eden, planting that garden there, perfect, when he created Adam and Eve and put them in that garden where he could have perfect fellowship with them. There was no sin at that time. But we know they took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that they were told not to do, and the day you eat of it, God said, I tell you, you are gonna die. And we know they died spiritually first, meaning they were separated from that perfect fellowship. Sin entered them, and that led to their physical death. Because of their rebellion, God had to put them out of the garden and put two angels there to guard the entrance of the garden. What happened to it? Well, certainly it was destroyed in the flood, in Noah's flood. But he didn't give up on us. Because then we'd come 4,000 years ahead to the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before the cross. Another garden where Jesus went to pray with his disciples. He didn't, just because man rebelled against him, he didn't stop to love us. No, he continued to love us and had his plan to save us. And so he did. In that Garden of Gethsemane, on that night, is when Jesus consecrated himself once again to the perfect plan and will of God. Father, if there is any other way, yet not what I will, but your will be done. Let this cup pass from me if there's any other way, but yet not what I will, but your will be done. And so it was for our salvation, so that we could come to the garden of life, the garden of eternal life, heaven, eventually, whenever that day comes. But how about now? Three, the garden of life as we live on this earth. Verse 17, John 20, Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, Mary." Sure, she's just, you know, overjoyed. Could you imagine? Don't hold on to me because I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to your brothers, the disciples. Tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father. He's making a distinction now after his resurrection. My Father, your Father. I am the Trinity. I am God, yes, in the flesh. You are adopted children of God, your Father. Go to my God and your God. He's making that distinction, the difference between him and us. We are adopted children into the family. Of course, Mary Magdalene goes with the news, I have seen the Lord, and totally excited. And this garden we get to live in every day of our lives, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, drawing our nourishment and strength from the true vine, who is Jesus Christ. As he said, I'm the vine, back in John 15 again, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he or she will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. We all, a lot of times this year, I don't think with our eighth grade, we had confirmation last Sunday. many years, there's one or two that want to choose for their favorite verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Awesome verse, right? This verse here is pretty awesome too. Abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. We, the tree over at the front of the parsonage, right where the ditches go, west, north, that's a linden tree. Ever since that drought, 2012, the next year, 2013, top third of it was dead. So we had whatever tree service come, top it off. He said, well, I don't know how many years you're going to get, but hey, it's a beautiful tree, and it is. Each year, a little bit more of it dies. This last, sometime in the summer, a big branch, well, I don't know, probably that big around, came off in a windstorm, not to the ground, just stuck up there. So by looking in it, yeah, I could see it separated from the trunk, but it stayed green leaves all the way because it had enough in the limb, I should say, until the fall and winter and all the leaves are off. And you really had to go up there and look and see. And one of the deacons came just a week or whatever so ago with his chainsaw because it was so wedged in there. This year, when leaves come back on, that's when you would see that is a dead branch. And it cannot grow because it's separated from the trunk of that tree. Takes a while to show up. That's why we have to be so in tune with God as our Father, with Jesus as the vine. We draw our nourishment from Him and His Word. We have to stay fresh, to bear the fruit of the Spirit that He has put on the inside of us. We have to do that. Because at Christ's resurrection, He gives us power. He gives us power to live on this side of the cross every day. Romans 8. Verse 11, if the Spirit of Him, that's the Holy Spirit of God, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, guess what? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your physical bodies by His Spirit who lives in you. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit's living within God Himself. That's incredible to think about. He gives us power on this side of the cross to live for Him, to do amazing things. Now, I just have to, not to embarrass anybody, but I have to tell you an amazing thing of a young man that I was hoping would be here today, that I believe would give all the glory to God for something that God did for him. And he was playing up at the State Bees. Three games you play. He shot 43 free throws during those three games, and he made 40 of them. Is that incredible? That's pretty incredible. Joe, don't mean to embarrass you. God bless you. I'm glad you're here. Arlen's grandson. No, he gives us power to do all kinds. I could go on and on with many examples. He gives us power as we live for Him to do these things. His resurrection, secondly, it impacts our life 7 days a week. Yeah, it's not just today on Easter Sunday and then we go about our life and forget about Him, and I don't think any of us here would do that. I hope not. No, we live for Him 7 days a week at work, at home with our families, when we're recreation activities, we live for Him. We were, another example, invited to a family's home from the church within the last months. I'll just say it that way. We had supper with them. After supper, Ann and I were so blessed. When we were done eating, one of the kids said, can we read the Keys for Kids devotion now? Yes. So they ran and got it. All the kids, fifth grade and down in the church, families should get that. I never know what happens, but this time I got to see it with my own eyes. So the one girl said, I'll read today, opens up whatever it was. The scripture reading was from James. Okay, this was so cool. How to even do it and learn the books of the Bible. I'm just sitting there. All of a sudden, beside me, one says, Matthew. And then around the table, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. It was me. 1 Corinthians. I looked at the next one. They're sort of like, And they said, oh, Pastor Mike, usually we say 1 and 2 Corinthians together. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I threw it off. Okay, on we went to James. What a cool way to learn the books of the Bible with the family and then read the devotion and have family prayer. I was about in tears. It was beautiful. Lastly, the kingdom of God. Nothing escapes its influence. Just a quick verse, Luke 13:20. Jesus asked, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast. So yeast a lot of times is talking about sin. In this instance, it's something good. It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough as they need it, as they would have back in that day. That's how we need to live our lives for Christ. Wherever we're at, we all have different personalities. You all do it differently. Some are more vocal about sharing the faith with whoever, and that's fine. Some are more quiet about it and just trying to live the life, and that's fine. If we're going to be vocal about it, we got to be living the life too, whichever way it happens, so that the life of Christ permeates through our communities, our state, our nation. We got to really work on that, don't we? Boy, we got to work on that in praying for the lost, for our nation. God is moving. He's moving behind the scenes much of the time. So let him transform your life. He's the gardener. He's working in you by the Holy Spirit and by his word. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. I pray that we would all have the excitement each and every day that Mary Magdalene has. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord risen and resurrected. And Jesus, we see you by faith and we see you through your word. And we praise you for it. I thank you, Father, for all who are gathered in here today. Bless their days with family and friends, those that have maybe traveled distances. Take them home safely, Lord Jesus, and fill us all with the power of your Spirit as you work mightily through us in many ways. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. We'll sing our closing hymn, He Lives, number 368. Let's stand together.
And Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His love and care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy clouds. will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. My Mother is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Yes, He does. Praise the Lord. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May He go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you His peace. Amen. You may be seated. Well, have a wonderful, blessed day with your families and friends. Thank you, Cindy, for the beautiful music and all your work. Oh, yeah. If there's little...